what I decided to do was change certain things. And over the past 2 months, given conversations, I have a different background in the light, I realize the various Yesodos Emunah that people really don't understand, and a tiny degree of depth. The two topics I want to talk about are the interface between Bechir Chavshis and Hashgacha Pratis. Let me just read. It's not the Rambam's washing. Animam, the first of the Amimamans. Amun Shlema. Shaboruch Yisbarach Shmo, who Bore. And say Bora, Bore. Lashon Hove. Manhig. Cholabruy. Who Levado also. He made. Va'osa. And does. And continues to make. Va'yasa. And will continue. Ova Hove. Home mice and anything that happens. Now what does that mean? Rambam, when he talks in the first mitzvah, an Och Hashem Elokecha, Shel Tzatzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, says as follows. Yisod ha-yisodos, v'yomer ha-chachmos. It's the yisod of all yisodos, and the basis of all chachma. Lodas, don't say lahamin, lodas. Loshon v'yodata ha-yom, ha-shevose el-levavecha. Lodas means to know the complete understanding. Sheyesham motzu rishon. There's a motzu in existence, a first existence. First, in the sense of historically first. Motzu rishon. We'll see what he means. That means he continues to be the humamsi, calling him to anything that exists, he gives existence to it. Doesn't say who himsi, humamsi, gives existence to everything in that exists in this world. And anything that exists in the entire cosmos, Uma Beinehim, and anything in between, earth and heaven, that means everything. Lo Nimtzu only exists, Eleman Mitz Himotzo, because he truly exists. Someone would imagine, Shu Einu Motzu, he didn't exist. Ein Dova Echod Yochol Himotzos, nothing else could exist. Everyone would imagine nothing else existed. Who he would continue to exist. Because anything that exists needs him for its existence. And he doesn't need anything else. The truth of his existence is not the same as the truth of everybody else's existence. What does it mean, he is emes? Are you emes? I'm emes? The tree outside is emes? Maybe. Hu levado emes. The only thing absolutely true in this world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does exist. That's not dependent on any other fact. It's a tree outside. Maybe it continues to be. Maybe next week it'll be. Maybe it wasn't. His existence is absolute. Levado emes. V'ein le'echad emes tamito. Nothing else. Emes like his existence. Husha Torah omer. Ein od milvado. There's nothing else in this world besides him. Ein shom motzu emes milvado kamos. Hamotzi azeh. This is our place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of existence. And we're sort of plugged, our continual existence, because we sort of plugged into his existence. He gives me existence. And if he'd pull the plug, I won't exist. HaMotzi azeh. Hu Elokei Ha'olam. Adon Kolar, it's two separate things. He's the Elohim of the world, the source of power in this world. Adon Kolar, and he runs this world. What is it? Adon Olam Hashem Alach B'Terem Kol Yitzin Yivah. What does that mean? Problem with some of the things are very nice songs, and people don't think what they mean. Someone asked the question, so I once gave share. It took me 2-3 months going through Adon Olam. You know, a priest. Okay. Elokei Olam. Kel Elokim means power, powerful. When we say Hashem Elokim, Hashma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what does Elokeinu mean? The Torah says, Baal HaKochos Kulam. Source of all power. Elokim, he is the source, he is the source of power in this world. Adon Kol Ha'aretz, and he runs everything in this world. Hu Ha'manik HaGalgal. Now people somehow don't understand what the number means by Galgal. Means the universe. And the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, when he describes what he means by Galgal, him, Hakeli Hamufor, Shabo Man HaKadosh Baruch Hu Solo. Kadosh Baruch Hu set up a system in this world to which he runs the entire world. Not random. The whole system and chain of command, how he runs this world. And there's a b'koach shein lo keitz v'tachos. B'koach shein lo hefsek, non-stop. He doesn't go to sleep late in the morning, no. So Gagal Sovatoma, the universe continually works. And he makes it work. The whole functioning of the entire universe. Now here, Ramban has a question that the Bahag doesn't quote it as a mitzvah asay, and why? He says it's not a mitzvah; it's the base of all mitzvahs. Question is, why does the Ramban quote it as a mitzvah? If you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's not a mitzvah, someone who commands. There's no mitzvah, commandment. So Ramban says, the answer is, that's why the Ramban says laham, doesn't say the word laham in leida. People have, they believe in a lot of things. Not part of their being. Not internalized. What does Vyodata Yom Hashivas El Lubavelcha means? Know it up here, internalize it down there. Means internalize. Mitzvah Esse Shalanoch Hashem Lokech. Amal Al Data Sheshem Eloha Acher. Another power in this world. Chutz Mizeh. Ova Belotzas, Shinema Loyal Elohim Acherim. There are no other powers in this world. Ukofa be'ika shezehu ika agolosh hakol tolui bo. What does it mean? Yisod ha'yisodos? The fundamental of all fundamentals. To know there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. He gives existence to this world, and he runs every detail in this world. Okay. Now, to understand this, now, there's something called Teva. Nature. The laws of nature. Law of gravity. Law of gravity, if any one of you took a physics course, they may have learned Newton's laws of universal gravitation. It means you drop something, it falls. Didn't Newton tell you that? You knew it yourself. I say he found it out when an apple fell on his head from a tree. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't happen. I don't know. If you think it happened, you're an educated person. If you don't know it happened, you're not educated. Okay. But what makes it happen? It's a law. All two bodies in this world attract each other with a force proportional to their mass, inversely proportional to the square of their distances. Boom. What does that law of nature say? It describes how something happens. But what makes it happen? It's the next question. Well, there's magnets. What makes that happen? And the Rambam says very clearly, something happens, it's a cause. It's a cause. A causes B causes C causes D, F, G, X, Y, Z. But then you go back, what made A happen? So at the top of that chain of command of everything that happens in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu making it happen. Those of you who sing a lot of smiras, Ilas Ilos Mukhta B'Cheser Elyon, the cause of all causes. The Rambam builds himself over two Ma'amar Chazal. One Ma'amar Chazal is Ein Lechol Kol Esa V'Esa, there's not a blade of grass that grows, Shein Lechol Malach, there's not a Malach or Omer Lov, Umak also Omer Gadel. That's one Ma'amar. There's another Ma'amar Chazal, Ein Lechol Kol Esa V'Esa, Shein Lechol Kol Omer Lov, Umak also Omer Gadel. Says, if there's a blade of grass growing, the chain of command strictly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not automatic. The world is not an automatic machine. It's Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet of everything. You have this false idea that there's a machlokes in the Rambam and the Rambam that they never read well more of. No. There is a whole chain of command. Krishna was actively making that happen at every moment. So anything and everything that happens in the physical world, Krishna was making it happen. The Rambam here, Rambam in Perish Mishnayas very clearly, and the Rambam in Maravucham very detailed. What is Teva? What is the laws of nature? We say every day in our davening, Choknosan v'lo ya'avor, give laws of nature that cannot be violated. So the first place in human history, the idea that there are laws of nature, chok. But what does the word chok mean? Chok means something whose entire source is in the Rotzon Habore. That means, why do things attract itself with a force proportional to the mass, inversely proportional to the square of the distances? Maybe it attracts itself with a different... No. That just describes how it happens. Teva means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, said Hashem b'chochma yosar aretz. Kulam b'chochma osiso malah aretz kinyanach. That means there's a system, he said. The world goes in a consistent way. If the world went in a random way, that sometimes things fell down, sometimes they fell up, and sometimes they went to the left, and sometimes they went to the right, in a random way, we couldn't function this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this, there's a system of Chochma that underlies, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it happen in a consistent way on each individual situation. It describes the Chochma, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. So when I drop something and it falls, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it fall. With what force, how? He makes the law of nature work. If Newton's law of physics is a body in motion, continues to sustain motion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving it along. And if friction happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the friction happen. So when I get into my car in the morning, I put my foot on the accelerator. Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making my foot go down, the gasoline go into the engine, ignited, everything happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it according to certain rules. And that's why the Ramban writes in the Parshas Bo that Nisim Gluyim Tel, and Nisim is done. There's a phantom out there that the Rambam didn't believe in Nisim. Whatever the Rambam. But everything that happened, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes change for, if this, and the Rambam says, when does Nis doesn't happen, stop. Happens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a purpose in that Nis happening. And he has to override the system. That's Aleph. But that is the way the physical world goes. That's how he created the physical world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a spiritual world, a whole different world. And they're two parallel creations. And everything in this physical world has a counterpart in the spiritual world. This is an idea that physicists have just recently, Einstein first suspected it was true. Now more and more physicists are coming to that conclusion. There's another world out there. A group of French physicists who take this very, very seriously have developed a whole theory about it. There's two parallel worlds. And through the parallel and through the spiritual world controls the physical world. Those of you who learned Nefesh HaChayim know that. Now, there's in the entire cosmos, physical, spiritual, there's one creation that straddles both. It's the human being. It's a guf and a neshama. And that neshama controls the guf. I decided this morning to get out of bed. My neshama told me, get out of bed, it's time to daven. I got out of bed. The way my mind works is a reflection of my neshama. Yet, you can discuss brain, you can discuss all the neurons in the brain and everything, but what's running, that's just the tool with which my neshama operates. It uses the brain to operate. Now, there's three worlds. There's a totally physical world, which is governed by laws of nature. Chok nosan v'lo yavo. They're inviolate unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrides it with a nes nigla. There is the spiritual world. Whole different set of rules. But in a spiritual world, in the world of Malachim, they have Bechira and they don't have Bechira. Because there's no such thing of Malach having Yetzer Hara. Nothing pulling him away of just fulfilling the Ratzon HaBorei. It does it automatically. There's no counterforce there. And a human being, that's the third part of the world. A human being that has both. Right, Guf and Neshama. And the question, what controls what? That's why a human being is the only thing in this world that has Bechira Chofshis. Technically, a Malach would, but there's nothing that pushes him away from fulfilling the Tzivi HaBorei, so he does it automatically. The world of causation, as we know it, is a description of the physical world. There's another world that has a whole different dynamic. And we, by straddling both worlds, have Bechira Chofshis in the physical world. That's what's unique about us. Now, we do have and we don't have. What does that mean? When we read the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, we'll see. My Bechira Chofshis means my neshama has a tool called the brain through which it functions. Let's say I'm a carpenter. I have tools. I have a hammer, I have a drill, I have this. And something goes wrong with my tools. I don't have the tools to exercise what I'd like to. So let's say you have a functional person and he has something goes wrong with the brain. There's a brain damage. He's missing the tools to do it. Missing the tools. The brain is a tool in the neshama uses to control how I function, how I act. Now, what is an addict? An addict is someone who, to a certain level, the brain has been rewired, so he is out of control of what he does. It's a rewiring of the brain. And getting someone in control of his addiction, there are two levels of control of addiction. One is learning how to use a rewired brain to do what you want, and rewiring the brain. Or unwiring the rewiring of the brain, restoring the brain to its function. First time I was I've dealt with all sorts of Talmidim, with all sorts of issues and all sorts of problems. An addict, I remember many, many years ago, I was talking with a certain person. I was living at that time after my marriage in New York and Washington Heights. And there's a guy who lives around the corner from me. We sort of diving together, and so we got to know each other. We walked home from shul together. And he was crazily addicted to smoking. And the most difficult time was Shabbos, Ram Mincha time, Shalosh Shulastan. During Shabbos, when in his psyche he knew he couldn't smoke, didn't fill a pole. But as the day was getting closer, that in an hour or two I can take a smoke. He began getting all sorts of things. He made Havdalah, and it wasn't there. The first thing he racing to somewhere was 8 blocks away to get a pack of cigarettes. Okay. He decided, I'm not now, I'll get myself controlled. That means deep his brain had been rewired in a very interesting way. That even though he was not in control vis-a-vis, it's a physical addiction in some way, but it's a physical addiction that compounds apparently with a psychological addiction. When that happened, when he got hung up on a nicotine, he somehow, with as part of the reprogramming, because deep down in him, he knew he couldn't smoke in shops. And remember, the first time I had to deal with drug addiction, many, many years ago, 20, 25 years ago, I had a bochur in yeshiva. His roommate comes and tells me, it was in bad shape. Over the summer, it was the beginning of Elul, he really got himself involved with drugs. So I said, take it out of his own, confiscate and give it to me. So I didn't know what to do. I never dealt with drugs before, never dealt with addiction before. So I found out that the number one person who dealt with addiction here in Yerushalayim lived in Ramat Eshkol. Called him up, I forget together with you, I got together with him. I wanted to know who I was dealing with. The story of his life was as follows. He was married with a family, but he lived in the South Beach of Miami Beach, which is a hotbed of drugs. And he was very addicted to all sorts of drugs. One day his wife tells him, listen, I can't deal with this. I'm walking out with the kids. She picked up and walked out with him. He's a totally secular Jew. His wife walking out of the house with all the kids, never to see him again, shook him very deeply. Shook him very deeply. Realized that he has to change. At that point, I don't know what it is today, it could be still is that way, the most successful drug rehab situation in that part of Florida was a Chabad rehab situation, and he enrolled in this. And not only did he get control of himself, but because it was Chabad, he ended up coming from. And then he realized, he told me, I realized in the environment that I was, the struggle was unbelievable. And I had to pick up and leave, and I came here. The rest of his life he dedicated to helping young people get off of drugs. And showing the dangers of it, the damage it causes, and everything. And that was his life. And he was a highly intelligent person, did it, was very good at it. And Chacham Kabbalah Nesoyan, he got control of his life. After he all told me his whole thing, what he does, okay, I pulled the stuff out of my pocket. I said, tell me what this is. I simply don't know what it is. He said, get that stuff away from me. Why? He said, very high quality stuff. So you don't understand, he told me. Ad Hayom, I still have a tremendous pull. Ad Hayom, it's still a fight. I spent a whole day telling people how bad it is, how dangerous it is. You got to get it, stop it. But it doesn't mean that I don't have that pull today. Shocked me. That means, yes, what happened in this whole thing? By being addicted to drugs, he had rewired his brain. He learned how to deal with a rewired brain, but still the brain remained the way it was. Had a Talmud, okay. He left Torah's Moshe. He's a very fine Talmud. Got married. Called me Masarek Tushin Schasta. Masarek Tushin Schasta. Then a while later, we lost contact. Then, maybe 10 years later, he gives me a call on the phone. Really, he was addicted to pornography. And when his wife found out about it, she gave an ultimatum. Either get under control, or I'm walking out. I can't have my children have a father. That's the situation. So he went through a whole rehab program. And totally under control. But he made a very telling comment to me. I'm not a recovered addict. I'm a recovering addict. It's still a fight and it's still a pull. And I spend my life teaching people now how to deal with that fight and that pull. So, there's some people who can go beyond that. They can do it again. That's a rewire the brain. But for other people, it's developing a technique. So where does Bechira Chavshis fall into this? I often think of a Talmud. I had a boy from He was in Meir Yeshiva. Ki'ilu Meir Yeshiva. That means he'd wake up in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. He'd be in a certain internet cafe in Nuchov Yafo. And just totally the most disturbed type of pornography possible. He'd be there all day, take a break for lunch, but he was there all day. And he was at a certain addiction therapist who really couldn't deal with him because this guy was a big chacham. Give him all sorts of maimar chazal, all this rachmana patra, every time he threw in something. It was another maimar chazal, why? Nothing to do. Okay. So he sent him to me, see what you can do with him. He comes and he gives me his whole speech. It's a this, it's a that. It's my parents' fault. You know, I got involved in it because my parents said this to me and that to me. That's how he got involved. And his parents beat him up when they weren't nice to him, etc. You know, everything's your parents' fault. Okay. Not your parents' fault, it's your Rebbe's fault, whatever. I looked at him and I said, Sheker. You look at me, what do you mean, Sheker? I'm telling you what I am. I said, you're asking me not believe in certain yisodos of my amuna. Ram says, everyone has Bechira Chavshis. Except certain Rishoyim are in such a madrega, Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes them by taking away. Paro and Luchanetza and all that. That's it. Not in that madrega. He said, but I can't stop. I said, Rabbi Yonah says, Bechira Chavshis is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. What does he mean? Remember the first time I saw Rabbi Yonah in Shari Chuvay Jam? It's a mitzvah. No. A person go through life, just go through life. Or you can decide to get control of your life. Mitzvahs get control of your life. Uvacharta b'chayim. Counts as one of Tariag mitzvahs of Achat v'chayim b'chira chavshis. Unbelievable, Rabbi Yonah. People don't notice it and they don't appreciate what it is. Get control of your life. You have the ability to get control of your life. You have to decide you want to get control of your life. You don't want to get control of your life. But it's something you have to do actively. Like I actively have to decide I want to take a lulav. I have to actively decide I want to put on tefillin in the morning. I have to actively decide I want to eat matzah. I have to actively decide I want control of my life. It's an active decision to do something. Let's read the Rambam now. It was Tshuva. Reshus kol odom nesunalo. Every one of us has free will. But he defines free will in a very interesting way. People in life have a certain life pattern that they establish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, we're creatures of habit. You know, I get up in the morning, get dressed, let's do say my brachas in the morning, wash my hands in the morning. That's I decide a certain mahalach of life. I get into my car, I press the buttons, turn it on. A certain pattern of behavior. And we develop certain patterns of behavior, and we live within those patterns of behavior. That's a derech. So what do I choose in life? I choose a derech. I can choose which derech I want. And then I develop myself within that derech. So this is what I told this addict. What is your choice now? To change your derech. There was a certain pattern of behavior. And an extreme pattern of behavior that you've lost all control of your actions. But now you can choose to get a different pattern of behavior and you will get control on your life. It's your choice of a derech. And it's a step-by-step process within that derech. And that's where Bechira Chofshus enters. Because I can have a derech, tova, a gemat tzadik. In Rotsu l'hatz atzma l'derech ra, I can have. Someone grew up in a mafioso family, and crime was just the patterns of behavior. Said, well, what can I do? On a sachmana patra. No. You can choose means to break something. I was talking to a certain person who grew up in a very frum family and decided they don't want to be frum anymore. The first time they had to put non-kosher food in their mouth, this person told me was killed them. Said, I'm going to do it. They had to break themselves away from everything they've been done since they were a child. When you first realize, three years old when you first realize there's certain things you can eat and certain things you can't eat. And you've been doing that for, this person did that at around age 40. Very strange. Okay. First time I put on kosher. That was hard. The first time was Machal Shabbos, but I knew I had to do it. I had to break away. Also, a person develops a pattern. They're Shabbos. I remember once had a very weird Shiloh. It's a family I knew. They had a son who was still an Orthodox Jew. Okay. There's this non-Jewish friend. Okay. She converted. She comes to me after the so-called conversion. But she was she was makabel mitzvahs completely. Makabel mitzvahs completely. But then came December 25th. She says, you have to understand what having a tree in my house means. It's not religious anymore. It's just a wonderful feeling we have in the house with a tree. Can I have a tree in my house? Doesn't mean anything. Well, in front of the tree, say Shema Yisrael, whatever. There's a certain pattern of behavior, breaking out of that pattern of behavior for this person. The most difficult thing of everything, this girl didn't come from a religious Christian family, but December 25th was a big family event with all sorts of things revolving around the tree, with presents around the tree, etc. And she was this part of breaking with her past was breaking with her past. Very difficult. A permanent pattern of behavior. And the Rambam writes, Hilchos Deos, the nature of her human being is to keep doing what he's doing. Most people's lives are an automatic pilot. That's why Rabbi Yonah said, it's a mitzvah ubachart v'chaim, get control of your life. So the Rambam, when he describes Bechira Chofshus, doesn't describe it really in the beginning, before he gets into detail, in terms of specific actions that I do. but a derech hatova or a derech hara'a that makes me a tzaddik or makes me a rosh. He says, Elu min sheni doma lo be'inyan zeh. There's no other creature on planet Earth that has this. Okay, maybe just an introduction to the Ach. I'll go over, then we'll go back to Chum. Sheyehu me'atzmo b'dayto u'mechshavto yodea hatov v'hara. What does that mean? The two steps. I'm capable of knowing Tov and Ra. I'm capable of knowing Tov and Ra. By myself. No. That means people, when they go through life, have all sorts of negias. We discussed the teachings of Rambam, Shulchan Aruch Paskens that way, based on Gemara B'cholos, that I'm not allowed to buy meat from someone who shochet bodek u'mocher. He does the shechita himself, he does the bedika treifas himself, and he sells it. The moment I have a financial interest in what I'm doing, even though eid echon nemon b'yisurim, I have a counterforce pressing me. Eid echon nemon b'yisurim is based on a deep belief in the honesty of a Jew in his avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra'ah in Torah Sabai says, we know the Chomer HaYisur, and therefore we're careful about it. He says, that's Rov Metzunei Tishchit HaMom Chomehem, is what? I know the Chomer HaYisur of Nevelos and Treifus, and therefore if I tell him, if I shecht and I leave and I know a person is going to eat it, I can rely on it. Ram says, yes, but if I sell it, I lose my nemonis. Why? There's a counterforce. And that counterforce is, yes, I do have it, but I have, if I'm nothing pushing me in the other direction, I'll be honest. But if something pushing me in the other direction, that I have a financial interest, then I may be compromised. But I know the truth. I'm capable, Yodea. I know what's right and wrong. And then we have a case of a Tinuk Shenishba, while Pidin is an Onus. What is Tinuk Shenishba? Let's say a circular Jewish family is living in Butte, Montana. No Jews around, nothing around. No clue what anything's about. This is never honest. There's no choice. But it can be even more sophisticated. I remember I was once during the Sugyan Shabbos of Tinuk Shenishba, my Rebbe Zichron Levracha. Shabbos, we were in Shul talking about it. And he points to a certain person. See that guy over there? I said, yeah. He's a Tinuk Shenishba. Someone who come to Shul for your yahrzeit to say Ganesh. He wasn't from there. Why? He says, I knew him in Vilna. I knew his family in Vilna. He grew up in a Shomer Shabbos family. But his parents were very interested in his financial success. And therefore they sent him to the highest quality education there, which is a school which was a secular, anti-religious school. That's where his parents put him. Into such an environment, and you just follow that environment. It can also be Tinuk Shenishba. I mean, certain times, the environment can be so overwhelming, the person doesn't, that is a big chiddush to me, the Gemara doesn't talk about that, but he says sometimes if you understood the environment at that time, you just ended up that way. Okay. But there's a Tinuk Shenishba. That's one type of person. A person who's clueless what's right and wrong. It could be If you grew up in a total mafioso family, where Ritzich and Geneva and all the other things they do, you're a Tinnish and Ishba. You don't even have a concept this right and wrong. Now, there is, some people sometimes say, Yetzirah makes me, the big Yetzirah. And that controls me. I don't have the strength to fight the Yetzirah. So there is an interesting Tosis in Sanhedrin, Daf Tesamid Beis, when he says that a person doesn't have a varias. And doing a verifarius, I have a big yetzer. So one Gemara says doesn't have a din rasha. So Tosa says that doesn't mean he's not chayim, you know, chayim malchus misa, whatever. Yeah. But the shem rasha is reduced. Look, I mean, certain things depend on the shem rasha of edus tzed. You understand? Understand? Okay. It's where Bechir Chofshis enters. Sometimes, in the case of a Dinek Ten Yishba, it's a whole complex thing. Now, this is where Bechir Chofshis works. The Ram says, Yodea, me atzma by myself, bedaito, uvimachshavto. I understand it, and I capable of thinking about it. Yodea hatova hara. Every one of us exposed to the right thing is capable of knowing what is tov and ra. Otsa kol mashu chafetz. And because I am capable of knowing that, if I have the knowledge for it, that's where tinech and nishba comes in. I have the ability to decide to do what I want. The Rambam begins with Derech. I don't know whether the Rambam felt that it's a process or an instantaneous thing. I can decide what I want on the spot. I'm not sure. I go back and forth on that. Because when he begins, he says, I can choose a Derech HaTova or a Derech HaRa. For instance, this individual, I don't know this condition that he has, but what does Derech mean here? He went to a certain type of therapist who specializes in this specific condition he has. And he told him there is a medication that you can take every day that will enable you to control this. So certainly, right now without the medication, is he chai? I'm not sure. Probably. Maybe yes, it's just a question of how strong the fight has to be. And no one's going to prevent him. And then, now that we know Tov Ra, and that we are capable of it, and we're the only thing in this world that has that ability, because what I said in the beginning, in the physical world, everything is absolute causation, directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the spiritual world, it's a different set of rules, but there's no counterforce. I'm created when Elokai Neshama Shenasati Bi Tahorihi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed that Neshama into me when I was born. So then, there's a stira. It's guf and neshama together. There's a neshama, and deep down, we learn that in Hilchos Shechita. Deep down, the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. Deep down in the neshama of every Jew. This is where the neshama of a Jew is on a different level. The Rambam, we learn, You learn how shchit of mumrim, what a mumma lahachas is. A mumma lahachas is, deep down in the neshama of each Jew, it's a rotzen to do ratzon abore. That's where the neshama of a Jew is different. But I have a counterforce. And what do we learn about kusim? This first generation, second generation, third generation. But someone who's brought up in it has never known us. Doesn't know anything. I have someone who all of a sudden one day, he grew up as an Irish Catholic. Sometimes in his grandfather was in his deathbed. His grandfather called him up and said, I want to tell you a secret. Your parents aren't your parents. They adopted you in a whole, gave him a whole story of what happened, and you're really Jewish. Boom. Now, growing up as a good Irish Catholic in that area of Boston where he grew up, you grew up from day one to hate Jews. And you wake up one day, your grandfather gives a whole story how it happened. It was a Jewish couple who didn't want to bring up the child, and they gave him to your parents, a whole story. He's 20 years old. It took him a year or two, he said, to his whole internal battle. What do I do with myself? He was 18, it was at the end of his high school, maybe after high school, I'm not sure exactly. It's around those ages. All of a sudden he wakes up, I'm Jewish. If he decided to be a guy, attain a shenishma. In this case, he decided to have to look into what it's all about. The guy sits and learns Torah all day. Okay, this is where Bechira Chavshus comes. But anyone who does not have the problems of a Tenek Shanishpa, so he has the ability and capacity to get control of his life and make decisions. But it has to be a conscious decision on his part. Get control of your life. The Rambam doesn't quote Bechira Chavshus as a mitzvah. Rabbi Yonah does. Rabbi says, it's part of every mitzvah. Yeah. I'm an alcoholic. I became a tremendous, I'm not in control of my life. Yeah. You have the ability to get control of your life. And each mitzvah means the Gabe Shabbos, the Gabe this, the Gabe this, the Gabe this. I'm addicted to smoking. I can't control myself to smoke in Shabbos. No. You can get control of that. So it's not a separate mitzvah getting control, with Rabbeinu Yonah says. It's part of, in this case, it's Shabbos. Get control of yourself so you don't have to smoke in Shabbos. I had a very close friend of mine, Zichron Lebrach, Zichver Choshev Tal Mechochem. He, after his first heart attack, doctor walks in Hadassah Hospital, says you have three problems. You're overweight, you're addicted to tobacco, you're a chain smoker, and you're a caffeine addict. I'm warning you, unless you stop all three immediately, next time it's over. He told me, why was he a caffeine addict? He's a big master and wanted to keep himself up late at night. And he said, losing weight, so I lost weight. Stopping smoking, stopped smoking. The most difficult thing for me to stop was the caffeine. And you can get control. Unfortunately, he couldn't control himself, and the next heart attack, he died. Okay, this is Bechira Chavshis. Al Yav Machshavta, he said. Now, most people go through life. This is the head. And before we get into all the details of Rambam gets in, this is the background. Bechira Chavshis is the fact that we are very unique creatures in this world, created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a guf and neshama together. So while the neshama has a deep rotzen to do rotzen abore, a lot of things that pull. Now, Yetzirah exists on different levels. Ki Yetzir Leva Odom Ra Min Urov. It's a fact. Paul says, from the very moment I'm born, I have pulled to do something. And it's an interesting Gemara at the end of Shabbos. Very interesting Gemara at the end of Shabbos. Gemara says, if you're born under this constellation, you're born under Mars, so you can be a Rotzeach. If you're born under this constellation, it says born under this constellation. No, that's only for Goyim. Avo, a mazel Yisrael. Jews are not under control by any constellation. Okay. So I saw an interesting Chuvas Hagonim. Notes Hagonim at the end of Shabbos. He says, listen, physically we're the same as everybody else. You just happen to have a Torah. So what's going on then? He says like this. Every one of us is born with certain atheists in certain different directions. Every one of us has a different personality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us each as a unique individual with our individual personalities, our individual atheists. Okay. But the question is, I have to recognize that within the personalities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, not either produced by the way he created me, or by society that I grew up in, the family I grew up in, everything. When I stand on my feet and I recognize there's certain positive things there and certain negative things there. If you're a guy, so you have, there's a strange concept in the Mongolian, which unfortunately I hear too often from Bochum. I wonder, who's the real me? I have to be the real me. I have to be honest with myself. That means there's some deep person down inside of you, and you have to figure out who that is, and that's what you have to do. Remember, I once had a Talmud who was a Kohen. He had a violent temper. So it's a Yiddish expression, a Kohen is a Kaiser. Kohanim have anger. And he couldn't get along with Yeshiva. He was a headache. I called him in and I said, what's happening? He said, I'm a Kohen. That's what I am. Okay. The answer is, okay. So who? At one point when you become aware of yourself, you say, there's certain parts of my personality that are positive, and certain parts that are negative. I have to control or eliminate the negative. And I have to develop the positive. But a guy who hasn't been trained by Shmir's Torah Mitzvahs may not have the kalim to do that. So what does he want to do? He wants to discuss inner self. Torah says there's no inner self. There's what you make yourself. The Rambam Hillel is very clear about that. I create what I want to become. I had a big fight yesterday with a certain Talmud. I said, don't tell me that. What do you want to become? Let's figure out how you create that. No deep inner self. It's what you make yourself to be. It's Chilchoshes. Yes, we have tendencies. Everyone has such tendencies. And that's a normal human being. It's a product of a million different factors that we are that way. But then you, at a certain point, you decide what's positive about my personality as a developer. What's negative about my personality? I either get rid of or control it. You're not a victim of anything except of yourself. Now, Bechir Chavshis is a very frightening thing. Does that mean there's no one to blame? Now, one of the great advantages of evolution is you don't have to take responsibility for anything. I'm just an overgrown monkey. It's a total abandonment of any sense of responsibility. I'm just an overgrown monkey. No such thing. Okay? No. You say no. You're not an overgrown monkey. What are you? You're a neshama and a goof. The neshama is capable of controlling the goof. In total control. But you have to make a willful decision that you want to do that. You're not an overgrown monkey. And that is the tremendous attraction to say, I'm just an overgrown monkey. There's no such thing as a good monkey or a bad monkey. Monkey's a monkey. You can train a monkey to do something. You can train a dog to do something. But then that's part of the training. There's no Bechira Chavshus. A question of habit. A question of different things. No? There are... A person goes fishing, he puts a hook, he puts bait on it, the fish doesn't stop and think, is it good for me to eat this worm, it's not good for me to eat this worm. Sees a worm, he eats it, and gets caught. Well, how do they catch tuna? What's the whole thing, issue with tuna? A tuna is a very stupid fish. There was once a whole shy in Kashas. With tuna, the porpoise, which is a dog toy, swims with schools of tuna. Have these big nets, and the environmentalists were very concerned that when you catch all the tuna, you also catch a porpoise. You'll have 100,000 tuna and there'll be one porpoise. Oh, I have to worry about the porpoises. Okay, we're worrying about the porpoises. It influenced conscious a bit. Because when they were catching tuna and porpoises, they had to make sure that when they brought them into the factory, they didn't put a porpoise into the can that you're eating the tuna. Okay. But, thank God, porpoise is a smart fish, kilu. And tuna's a stupid fish. They have the big nets, and what they do is, when tuna swim, it's like in a triangle. It's the lead fish, and everyone's following the lead fish. So, when the lead fish gets caught, the stupid tuna keep moving ahead. The porpoise, when it gets caught, tries to get out. So all they had to do was in the nets have an escape hatch for the porpoises. So they weren't catching porpoises anymore, they were only catching tuna. The tuna just goes straight in. There's no decision making there. This is instinct. That Kodesh will pour into these things. Okay, so we could eat tuna. He made the tuna to be a super fish. There's no decision making there. No decision making there whatsoever. That's why to think we're just an overgrown monkey, it's no decision making. And that's why the idea, who is the real me? I have to be true to my real self. Shtus v'hevel. You are who you create yourself to be. That's what Bechira Chavshus said. Total sense of responsibility. total sense of responsibility. I cannot blame anyone. My parents did this to me when I was a little boy. My Rebbe did this. I got turned on. I turned off. Blah, 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 blah. All of that. Bottom line, you are responsible. There's no abandonment of responsibility. Now, what that means, can I in control of each action, or it's a derech that'll be at the end? I can choose where I'm going in life. This will continue going through the Rambam Shiruchoshes. Then we'll get on to how this affects Hashgacha Pratis. Mitzvah Hashem will continue with Cholanam. Okay, I always take my time, so I'll give you an extra time to go through a very complicated subject. Okay.